This year's Pulitzer Prize-winning play Cliburn Park is set in a fictional Chicago neighborhood, so it has special resonance now that it's playing at Chicago's Steppenwolf Theater. It also has resonance because of the issues it raises: race, class, gentrification, and war. NPR's Cheryl Corley reports.
Cliburn Park was inspired by Lorraine Hansberry's 1959 groundbreaking drama, A Raisin in the Sun, and it picks up where Hansberry left us. In that play, we meet the Youngers, the black family that decided to move from a South Side Chicago neighborhood to the all-white Cliburn Park. In the new Cliburn Park, we meet Russ and Bev Stoller, the white homeowners who decided to sell their house. It's still 1959, and in Act One, Carl Linder, the head of the neighborhood association, wants to stop the sale because he's discovered the buyers are black. He drops by the Stollers to express his concern.
And I don't think any of us have forgotten what happened to the family that moved onto Costner Avenue last year. Now, Costner Avenue is one thing, but Cliburn Street...
Wait, Carl. Are you sure?
I was sitting with them not 2 hours ago.
But isn't it possible that they're, I don't know, Mediterranean?
The Stollers had given a real estate agent carte blanche to handle their transaction and weren't aware of the race of the soon-to-be new owners. The situation echoes the plot of A Raisin in the Sun, which has its roots in the real-life effort of Lorraine Hansberry's father. He challenged the restrictive covenants of a segregated Chicago as he moved his family into a white community. In the play, Carl Linder offered to buy the house back from the Younger family. Cliburn Park playwright Bruce Norris was in seventh grade when he saw the 1961 film adaptation of A Raisin in the Sun.
I grew up in a very segregated part of Houston, and so to see a play, well, it was the movie instead of the play, in which the results of segregation and segregation policy were made so clear to me at a very early age, and that I was potentially the antagonist in that struggle, was a really strange thing to put into the mind of a 12-year-old.
And so, in Cliburn Park, Linder and Jim, the family minister, press on in their quest to keep a black family out of the neighborhood. They even awkwardly try to persuade the Stollers' black maid and her husband that living in Cliburn Park would be a mistake for any African-American family.
But for example, if Mrs. Stoller here were to send you to shop at Gelman's, do you find, when you're standing in the aisles at Gelman's, does it generally strike you as the kind of market where you could find the particular foods your family enjoys?
It's a very nice store.
What if we were to say this?
Mr. Gelman's a nice man.
But I mean your preferred food items. Would such things even be available at Gelman's?
Do that carry collards and pig feet? Gosh, sure put shot in the way and said no beef.
Norris says Cliburn Park is not just a play about race or the racial conflict between blacks and whites.
It's about clannishness and how we divide ourselves up into clans of people when our territory is threatened. Because literally that's what happens in the play, is that there's a territorial dispute over a piece of property.
But clans have their limits, and the white homeowners, Russ and Bev, fell out of favor with their neighbors after their son, a soldier who committed atrocities in the Korean War, returned home. John Judd, who plays Russ in this production, says Norris uses his character to show race is not always the primary force behind the departure of whites from changing neighborhoods.
They're fleeing something else. They've tasted a bit of the alienation from the community that people of color might have also experienced. In other words, they're not embraced any longer because of this thing that has happened, this family shame.
There is an actual Cliburn Park in Chicago, but it is not a neighborhood. It's a play lot, complete with a basketball court, a swing set, and some greenery, situated near Chicago's elevated train tracks. Northwestern University English professor Bill Savage says even though the play's Cliburn Park is a fictional place, what happens there fits the dynamic of many of the city's communities.
Neighborhoods can be communal places that support the members who live in it, or they can be tribal places that attack outsiders, or they can be both.
And that plays out in the second act of Cliburn Park, set 50 years later in the same living room of that bungalow. It's tattered now. There's graffiti on a couple of walls. The stained glass windows, gone. A white couple has bought the house in the now all-black and gentrifying neighborhood. They want to tear the home down and build anew. Their black neighbors want to preserve the neighborhood's history and want the white couple to alter their McMansion plans. Their chat, with attorneys present, turns into an uncomfortable and eventually hostile conversation. Karen Aldridge plays Lena, a black woman whose aunt used to live in the bungalow. She echoes the arguments of the white Carl Linder as she and her husband try to persuade her white neighbors to save the house.
If you have a residential area in direct proximity to downtown,
right?
And if that area is occupied by a particular group...
You know
which
what?
Group?
We're talking about one house.
I understand that.
Which
a
group?
House for our family.
Which group?
That's how it happens.
In which to raise our child?
No, which group?
It happens one house at a time.
Whoa. Okay, stop right there.
When Claiborne Park was recognized with the Pulitzer this year, the jury called the play a powerful work whose characters speak to America's sometimes toxic struggle with race and class consciousness. After each performance, audience members have their critiques, too. Chicagoan Veronica Anderson says both Claiborne Park and A Raisin in the Sun touch a sensitive space.
It's almost like a family that can't get to the bottom of the reason why they can't get along because they just can't touch that very sensitive spot.
A discussion leader shooed the audience out after a while. Playwright Bruce Norris says he doesn't believe it's a discussion that will ever end.
It's going to happen 50 years from now. It's going to happen 100 years from now. The details may change. It might be Hispanics versus Asian Americans. It may be Hindus versus Muslims. We don't know. But the behavior of humans tends to repeat itself.
Claiborne Park wraps up at Chicago's Steppenwolf Theater this weekend. It's running at other regional theaters, and it will be produced in Los Angeles early next year, with plans to take that show to Broadway. Cheryl Corley, NPR News, Chicago.
From NPR News, it's Morning Edition, directed by Van Williamson and Leah Scarpelli. The production staff includes Jess Gittner, Asma Khalid, Travis Larchuk, Kevin Leahy, Lauren Magaki, Steve Monroe, Justin O'Neill, Vince Pearson, Selena Simmons-Duffin, and Lindsay Tutte, with Ben Bergman and Melissa Yeager-Miller at NPR West. Our executive producer is Madalika Sicka. The executive director of news programming is Ellen McDonald. Morning Edition's theme music was written by B.J. Lederman and arranged by Jim Pugh. I'm Steve Inskeep.